Well, we're in a new series called Meaningless. Wasn't that video awesome and challenging and make you feel like you're not sure if you actually want to be in church or not? We're starting this series on the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't know about you, but there's been a number of moments in my life where it felt like I was preparing for something that was going to change my life, I thought. I was preparing for something that was going to bring a whole new kind of meaning to my life, a whole new kind of value or satisfaction or fulfillment to my life. And we all have sort of stages that we look forward to, things that we prepare for, things that we think if we acquire this thing or achieve this thing or start this thing, that is going to be when our lives really gain value. And one of those moments for me happened in grade 9. See, my mom is a hairdresser, and I know she mourns the fact that this is my state now, but my mom's a hairdresser, and so ever since I was a kid, every time we'd go into the salon, and she'd be cutting my brother's hair, my sister's hair, and she'd go, "Evan, read the book, and decide what kind of hairstyle you want to look like." And I'm, "Okay, sounds good, Mom." And so I'd always be flipping through, and I'd always pick the exact same hairstyle. It was like shaved on the sides and on the back, just a nice short haircut, nothing to see there, nothing really impressive. But then on top, always the model that I wanted to look like had blonde curly hair. I have brown straight hair, And I'd be looking through things, and no matter what book my mom showed me, she would, try this book. I'd always find the guy with blonde curly hair. And I was like, that's what I want, Mom. And she goes, "Evan, you have brown straight hair, so if you're going to say that to me, then I'm just going to cut your hair in a mushroom cut, like usual." Like, mushroom cut it is. Every time, mushroom cut. And my mom would always part my hair in this spot. I wanted it in the center, but she went with my cowlick, which I've now balded past. Hallelujah. But anyways, I always wanted the exact same thing. I want this haircut. You don't have curly hair, Ev. I want this haircut. You don't have blonde hair, Ev. I want it. It needs to look this way, Mom. Would you just do it for me already? Grade 9 came, and she said, "Ev, what haircut do you want?" And I was at a new school. I was making new friends. I was only like a week into this school. I was excited. I'm like, "Mom, it's time for the cut short on the sides and curly and blonde on top. It's time, Mom." She's like, "Okay." I was like, "Yes, this is my moment. Like, I'm going to be the coolest kid in school all of a sudden. Everyone's going to look at me and be impressed with me all of a sudden." And so my mom does it. I sit down in her chair and she starts bleaching my hair. And my hair is pretty dark brown, so it turned like a nice yellow. And all of a sudden, I got a nice, yellow, short on the sides, long and yellow and straight on top. And I'm like, "Come on, I am the coolest guy around now. This is looking good." And so then she pulls out the curlers. And not like loose, wavy, like my grandma curl hair. It was like the tight. I wanted the tight perm. That's what I wanted. And so my mom's like, "Perm time, Ev." And she starts wrapping my hair. I'm like, "This is the best thing ever." And I assumed in that time that the only reason guys my age weren't getting perms is because they couldn't afford it because they didn't have a hairdresser for a mom. And so I'm like, I'm like living the best life because I'm getting the hairstyle that everyone wishes they could have, but they can't because their mom's not a hairdresser. And so I got my hair permed. I got it all rocking. I'm like, "This is the best. My life is going to take on a whole new meaning. I'm going to show up to school and everyone's going to love me. I'm going to be the coolest guy in my new school. It's going to be so amazing." Well, I was sort of surprised by the response people gave me. It felt like they actually had more questions than answers for me. It was more like, "So Ev, what happened to your hair?" I'm like, "Do you mean like how did I get it so awesome? Or what? Like, what are you trying? I'm not just sure what you're trying to say." Like, "No. Oh, what I actually mean is like, why is it yellow and curly? Did you get a perm? You know?" "Yeah. I got a perm. Shh, keep it down. You know, like I thought it was awesome." And so I go to the next person and like, "Ev, what's going on with your hair? Come on. What, are you jealous? Like, I got a perm. Like, this is awesome." And anyways, 2 days later, I was so embarrassed by my hair, I shaved it off. It was a sad day in my life. Well, isn't it funny how we have these things that we think this thing will probably create meaning in my life. or this thing will shift everything for me. Once I do this one thing, once I get this one thing, everything is going to change in my life. For some of us who are younger, we're thinking maybe the next big thing in our lives is when we get our driver's license. I remember when I was going to get my driver's license, I was like, this is the best. Once I get that, I'll drive around all day long. I'll drive anyone, anywhere, all the time. It doesn't matter. I'll just go for it. I'll be free as a bird. It's going to be incredible. And I get my driver's license, and I feel that way for about a week, and then I get tired of my sister wanting me to drive her everywhere. And we all just, I thought everything was going to change, and now I wish I actually didn't have my license so I didn't have to drive her everywhere. Or graduation, you know. I'm going to graduate high school. This is going to be great. And maybe right when you do graduate, say, finally, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. And you look around and say, this is so amazing to be free from school. But you take a few more steps and look around and sort of realize, I don't actually know what I want to do with my life or where to go or what I'm supposed to accomplish. And actually, this is kind of scary. And so what you thought would be the turning point and the greatest moment for you isn't. Or maybe it's when you start your career and that's what you think is going to change everything for you. Oh, I'm gonna carry on. I'll do my schooling or I'll do my apprenticeship or I'll follow through on whatever it is. I'm going to get my career started. I'm going to start that business I dreamt of or whatever it is. And you shoot for that goal for a while and you think, once I get there, oh, life is going to be good. It's going to be exactly what I want it to be. It's exactly what I've always dreamt of. And you get there and you start that job, you start that career, you start that business, and you look around and say, actually, I'm not sure if my life is as perfect as I thought it was supposed to be. I thought this is where I would gain meaning, and I don't seem to be finding it right now. You know, maybe it's when you have kids. You know, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's when you get your raise. Maybe it's when it's something shifts in your life. Maybe it's just when you get a new jacket. You think you can get those new shoes and that's going to make the difference. Whatever it is, we get our heads around this idea that everything will change if I could just have this one thing or just at that one point, meaning will be instilled into my life and all of a sudden I will experience the fullness of what I'm supposed to be experiencing in this life. Sometimes it's not about things changing. It's just about us getting more of something. Maybe if I just made 10% more money, then I'd be happy, happy, happy. If I just had 10% more clothes, that would just be perfect. If I just got to spend this much more time with my spouse, then it would be great. Maybe if I just got to spend this much less time with my spouse, then it would be perfect. I don't know how your marriage is doing, but whatever it might be, whatever you think, that is what will make my life perfect. And the reality is we get there and often it's not what we dreamt it would be. It's not what we thought it would be. Some of us think that somewhere out there still, you're still searching. You think, well, somewhere out there though, it's there. I just haven't found it yet. I found this thing and it didn't work, but I know it's out there. I just have to find that meaning. I just have to find that purpose. I just have to find that thing that's going to fill me up and show me all the value of my life. And it's somewhere out there. I just have to get there. And we start pursuing the life we think we ought to live rather than living the life we've got to live right here. We're trying to find it. Somewhere the life of meaning, the life of purpose, the life of value, the life of everything that's supposed to come together and feel good. Somewhere out there, that life exists, and I just need to find it and live it. Well, there's this guy named Solomon in the Bible. And Solomon was a pretty smart guy. In fact, he was one of the kings of Israel, and God came to him and said, Solomon, you're king. What do you want? I'll give you one thing. What's the one thing that you want? Because if you just have that one thing, then you can lead. So what's the one thing you want? And Solomon thinks about it, considers all the things that he could have, and then he says, you know what? What I actually want is I just want to be wise enough to lead. Would you give me wisdom, God? Would you show me how to lead? Would you teach me how to do this? And God says to him, Solomon, I love that answer. In fact, Solomon, since you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for your own health, you didn't ask for the death of your enemies, you didn't ask for all of those things, not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you all the things you didn't ask for. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you healthy. I'm going to have you overcome your enemies. I'm going to do all of that for you. And so Solomon becomes this incredibly wise, but also incredibly rich guy. He's got people showing up to him all the time. Foreign kings and queens, people coming from different countries showing up to him and said, Solomon, what? I've heard about you. I brought you a whole forest. That's what they gave as gifts back then. It's weird. Like, here, I brought you all of these trees to build stuff. And I brought you all of this gold. And I brought you all of these spices or whatever they had. They just come and say, we just want to hear from you. We've heard you're wise. And there's this one queen, we hear about her story, that shows up and says, Solomon, I had heard about you. I had heard you were wise. I had heard all this stuff about you. Someone told me that you were just brilliant and I wanted to come here for you. I want you to know they were all wrong. You're not just brilliant. You're more than brilliant. You're something. I can't even believe who you are. And so people would just come and sit at Solomon's feet. He's this king of Israel. He's wise and people want to hear from him. And so they just give him all their stuff. Here's all our money and all our gold and all our everything. And so he's powerful. He's influential. He's wise. He's rich. And not only that, the guy's got 700 wives. What is that? By the way, we don't endorse that as Northgate Church, nor do we see the Bible endorsing that, okay? Just so we're clear. But he's got all these wives and he's got all this stuff. And in fact, at a different point in the Bible, Solomon says, I didn't deny myself any pleasure. Whatever pleasure came my way, I tried it. I tasted it. I felt it. I wanted to experience it. I wanted to take hold of it because I wanted to know if there was anything of meaning in life. I wanted to know if this world could bring me anything of meaning. I wanted to know if there was anything that would stir me to feel like this life could provide me with something beyond just something that fades and something that drifts away. Was there anything of meaning there? So this Solomon, who has all of this stuff, all the money he wants, all the power he wants, all the influence he wants. He's healthy, all the health he wants, all the family he wants, all the stuff that we think would probably provide meaning. Here's what Solomon has, all of it. And then in Ecclesiastes, the very first two verses of the book, it says this. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. So that's the author. And now here are the first words of Solomon. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Man, do you feel encouraged to be at church tonight? Meaningless. It's all meaningless, he says. Your riches, meaningless. Come on, your popularity, meaningless. Well, what about your influence and how cool you are with your perm? Meaningless. It's all meaningless. What about all your relational status stuff? Like Solomon, you could have meaningless. It's all meaningless. This is how he starts this scripture. This is how he starts this book of the Bible. It's all meaningless. He carries on in Ecclesiastes 1:14. It says, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. That means that are done on earth. I've seen all the things that happen here. I've seen all the things that take place on this planet. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, chasing after the wind. So Solomon compares this to chasing after the wind. And actually, the word meaningless here, we've translated it in this translation as meaningless. But the word is havel. And that word actually means vapor. And vapor, the idea behind this is Solomon saying, look, it's sort of from afar away. You know, if you've seen a smoke cloud coming out, and if you didn't really know what it was, you'd look at it and think you could grab it, or it's sort of like it's something to take hold of, but when you get closer, it's nothing. This is what he's saying. It's like our pursuits in life are like chasing after these things that we're trying to put fulfillment in that. We're trying to add meaning into that thing, and we think we could take hold of it, and we get there, and it's not there after all. Anyone ever been on a plane over top of the clouds? Man, that's a beautiful scene when you get above the clouds in a plane. I love that. You know when you get over top of the clouds, all of a sudden you sort of feel like you're going to see some angels dancing around on top of the clouds? It's just a big fluffy party, you know? It feels like you could go and jump down and just land on those clouds and play and roll. And we all know what would happen if you jumped out of the plane and tried to land on those clouds. You wouldn't stop at them. You'd carry on to something much less forgiving. The clouds won't catch you, but you know when you're on top of them, you sort of feel like they're solid, but if you got close to them, they're not there. There's nothing. You can't take hold of anything. There's nothing to grab hold of. And Solomon starts comparing all of our pursuits, all of our interest in discovering meaning in life, all of our efforts to discover meaning from this world. He compares it to chasing after vapor or chasing after the wind. That you're trying to find meaning in this money over here. And if I just get a little bit more money, maybe I'll find. And you go to grab it and it's not there actually. And you get a little bit closer and maybe, oh, there it is. No, it's not there either. And you know how this is, because if you've ever had a job and worked at it for a while, you say, wow, look at all the money I make. This is great. This is awesome. I got a raise and it feels so good. And well, I don't even know how I'm going to use all of this money. And then, you know, a year later you say, I need a raise because I don't know how to live on this anymore. I got a raise. Wow, this is so incredible. Ah, this is just too much. It's plenty. And then a year later, you say, I need more. You know what it's like chasing after something, chasing after that vapor, chasing after that thing that you're sure is going to fulfill you. This is for sure going to be the moment where you're going to find meaning in life. And right when you get there, it just disappears on you. You say, what was that? Solomon says it's like chasing after a vapor. Solomon, who had everything, says, don't worry about pursuing all those things. At the end of the day, they're not going to fulfill you. They're not going to sustain a meaningful life in you. They're not going to keep you to recognizing value. You're going to chase after them and they'll disappear the second you get to them. Solomon says that's meaningless. Why would you do it? Don't do it. Don't chase after those things. Don't pursue those things. Don't give your whole life to those things. This world cannot provide you with the meaning that you're meant to have in your life. Then he says, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he said, He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I love that. He says, there's something in each of us that if you're honest with yourself, you can recognize that vapor chasing that you're doing. You can recognize that you keep thinking you're so close at finding that fulfillment. Why do people continue in a habit that they know is wrong? Why do people continue to walk in a way that they know isn't beneficial to them? Because they think maybe the next time it's going to not be wrong. Maybe it's finally going to cure it's going to fulfill that unfulfillable hole in their heart. Maybe finally that next relationship is going to do it. That next raise will do it. That next time that I use that drug, it will do it. The next time that I get that new clothing, that's going to be the moment that will finally fulfill the need that's in my heart. Finally, I will find meaning in life. You know, just maybe it's just that next thing right there. We all know, if we're honest with ourselves, that the things we thought would bring meaning to our life haven't been able to sustain meaning in our life. We recognize there's something more that I need to find and discover. And where is it? And Solomon's saying it's not in this world. In fact, God has put eternity in all of our hearts by creating a little hole that longs for it, by creating a little space, maybe a big space. It says there's something more than vapor somewhere. There's something more substantial than chasing after the wind somewhere. There's something more that I can receive somewhere. He says he's put eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to the end. See, sometimes the problem is that eternity is just too unfathomable. We think, well, I would like to think about eternity, but it's just too big. I can't get my head around it. And I can get my head around figuring out how to get a raise. I can get my head around figuring out how to take this next step in this relationship. I can figure out how to do this next thing or how to pursue this next relationship or status symbol or I can figure out how to purchase that thing that will hopefully make me feel much better. So why would I focus on eternity, which seems so hard for me to grasp, when I'm actually going to focus on these things, which are much easier for me to grasp? And though money might be easy for you to get your head around, and a business might be, and a relationship might be, and status might be, and popularity might be, all of those things might be things that you can say A plus B equals C, and you can get that result every single time. One of the things that you will never figure out by doing that is how to live a life fulfilled and full of meaning. Because none of those things create it. Solomon says, eternity is in your heart. And you're chasing after the wind. You're chasing after vapor. You're trying to get meaning out of this life, from this world. It doesn't work. Solomon says there was no pleasure he couldn't give himself. All of the things that he wanted, he gave himself, and it didn't do the trick. There's this illustration I've seen a few times, and I saw it from Francis Chan recently again. But this rope here, I want you to imagine this rope being much longer than this, being sort of a forever kind of rope, that it would go on forever and ever, and it represents eternity. All of this rope is, and then far more is what God has given to us. That's what God has put in our hearts. He said, this is where you will find your fulfillment. This is what I have to give to you. This is what I want to offer to you. This is what I'm calling you into. Relationship with me for this long. I want to give you meaning for this long. I want you to understand me in this kind of way. And this tape represents our life on that timeline. And we look at our lives and we often say, well, all meaning needs to exist right here. And I need to be able to gain all of my meaning for life and receive all of my meaning for life right here. I need to be rich enough here or I won't be happy. I need to be healthy enough right here or it's not going to be good enough. I need to be strong enough right here. I need to be popular enough right here. This is what I need, and we live for this. And God said, well, what about all this? What about this eternity that I want to give you? What about this relationship that I want to grow in you for the rest of eternity? And you're sitting here trying to figure out how to pull meaning out of this and create meaning here. But what does it look like to live this part with this in our hearts? What does it look like to contextualize anything that goes on here with all that this is? All of a sudden we face a health crisis. You know, sometimes I see people, face health crises in this life, right? In this space right here. They say, well, where is God? He doesn't exist. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to handle this? And they go crazy and they just lose everything. Well, what would it look like for us to remind ourselves, God, you've called me to this. And in all of this time, I'm going to walk with a whole and healthy body. And I'm going to be made well. And I'm going to be made strong. And there's going to be no tears in my eyes. There's going to be no brokenness in me. And yet, for this period of time, there might be a little. But instead, we say, since this is the only thing I'm thinking about, I can't handle this. Or we look along here, and though all of this is here, we say, well, what I want to do with my life is make sure I get enough money right here so I can buy a house. You know? Or right here so I can retire happily. I just want to make sure that I get a vacation there. And then that's the purpose and that's the meaning of my life. Well, I want to make sure I get the right car here. Well, I need to be married within this time and this time. That's all that matters. God is saying, well, wait a second. I want all of this for you. And the end of the day, you can chase vapor here. Or you can live in something more substantial here. And you get to choose. Worship team, you can come on up. I feel like God actually put this on my heart for this timing. And often right away when I say meaningless, everything is meaningless, you sort of get offended. Or I know I do. It's like, whoa, hey, wait a second. No, there's lots of valuable things. Family, friends, you know, kindness, looking after other people. All of those things are values in this life, sure. Sure, but at the end of the day, you do all of those things. Maybe you do all those well. You have a lot of money. That's great. It, you know, maybe you were really kind, and that's really nice. Maybe you did develop your job quite a lot or whatever it is. You say, I lived a good life, and that's great, but that's this much of all of this. And God is saying, are you so concerned about making sure you get this right that you're going to forget about all of this? Well, I just want to make sure that I leave my kids with something. Well, you are going to die and your kids are going to die. People say, whoa, easy. Don't say that. Newsflash. We're all going to die. And that's right here. And at that point, are we seamlessly carrying on? Or do we know nothing of this? Or actually living something here that's kind of separate from all of this? Because God's saying to you, do you want all of this right now? Do you want to start tasting this right now? Do you want to start experiencing His kingdom and His life and His eternal love for you right now? Or would you rather figure out how to make sure you get everything right here? Because often the reality is, Scripture seems to teach us this, that the harder we hold on to this, the harder we try to control this, the harder you try to control how your marriage looks, how your kids treat you, how you're treated in high school, how your grades are, what your identity is, the sins and the guilt that you've walked through, the harder you try to control this little space, the harder it is for you to see all of this. And God is saying, would you allow me to take this piece? Would you allow me to control this piece? Would you give this piece to me? Because if you will, you'll know what it is to receive this piece from me. I want to give you all of this. First, if you want all of that, you've got to recognize the vapor that this is. Yeah, but what if I don't have enough money? Vapor. You think money is the thing that leads to all this? You can't buy this. Oh, well, yeah, but what if I, you know, what if I give this over to God? What if He takes away my health? Your health is right here. This is where you're restored. This is where you're made whole. This is where you become everything you're meant to be. No, well, I just want it here. Okay, well, you can have it here, but then you maybe don't get it here. And you look at this, which would you rather? Would you rather make sure everything is perfect right here, which you now know you can't do? None of you can control your life. Solomon thought he could, and he finished, he gets all this stuff, and he goes, I'm chasing wind. I'm chasing vapor. It's turning into nothing. The guy who could control his life more than any of us is saying, this is not going to fulfill you. You need to be spending time here. And some of us say, yeah, but I don't want to give this up because I want to just take care of this piece. I want to handle this piece myself. And I want to do this thing on my own. And that's fine. And you can choose that. But you're chasing vapor. It won't fulfill you. Say, I don't want to give God control because I want to control this. No, you won't. You know you can't control this. You've learned that for yourself. If you're real with yourself, you can't control how you handle yourself. You can't control your marriage. You can't control how people treat you. You can't control your health. Well, we try so hard. We try so hard to figure out our health and do all that. We can't control it. We try so hard to figure out our finances and do all that. Yeah, but what if all of a sudden our government turns and everything shifts and none of us have any money? You can't control this. And yet, we still won't give control to the one who holds control of all of this. So today I feel like God is saying, would you trade me? Would you give me this so I can give you this? Would you give over control of this to me so I can let you taste all of this in your life? So I can let you have a taste of eternity? So that when you pray, Lord, kingdom come, you might start to feel what it is to feel to deal with traumatic situations in your life with eternity in mind. To deal with loss of income with eternity in mind. To deal with trouble in your marriage with eternity in mind. To deal with bullying in your high school with eternity in mind. To deal with your own identity with eternity in mind. Because if we're all honest, eternity is in all of our minds. And though we can't sort it all out, it's there. And we can either fill that hole with make-believe fulfillment that doesn't last because it's vapor. Or we can say, God, take this vapor of mine and give me this. Today, I believe God wants you to choose. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes with me for a second? Because today some of you need to make that choice, and I want you to be able to do that between you and me and God. If today you say, you know what? I've been trying to create meaning in that little taped piece on the rope. I've been trying to create meaning out of the life that I'm living. I've been trying to figure out all of that stuff. I've been trying to find fulfillment in that little piece, and I can't seem to find it. Or when I think I've got it, it just turns into vapor, and it's not actually there. And God is saying to you, give that to me. Give me that life. Let me control that piece of you so that you can have a taste of eternity now. If today you say, I need to give over that tiny little piece so I can start to experience what God has for me, you just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And you and you and you. And God bless you and you. And you too at the back. God bless you and you and you too. People are saying, I want to taste it. I'm done chasing vapor, Lord. You hear these hearts. You see these hearts. You see these raised hands. I'm done chasing vapor. I'm done chasing things that won't fulfill me. I'm done trying to create meaning out of this small, tiny life and outside of eternity. Instead, I want to give you over this life and learn what it is to know the meaning of living with eternity in my heart. Jesus, thank you that you love every person in this room, but thank you, God, that to those who are saying, I will give up my life, you are saying, you will know my life in you. It's so good for us to experience that. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us an example like Solomon, who had literally everything he wanted, and it wasn't enough. Thank you, God, for making it clear that this world can't give us what we need. Thank you, Lord, that we can't muster up enough meaning or enough purpose or enough value out of what's here. Thank you, Jesus, that because of that, it leaves a hole in us that longs for something more. And thank you that you make that something more available to us. Lord, thank you that those of us who have raised our hands today are choosing it and saying, Lord, have my life. Have my life, which is small. small and in many ways just a vapor, just a small little piece, a little blip along the whole scope of eternity. Lord, today would you plant firmly eternity in their hearts? Would you allow them to know your fullness today, God? Would you allow them to know the kingdom of God entering into them? Would you allow your Spirit to confirm your full meaning for life, which can't just be found from this life and from this world, but it's found when we start to allow you to speak to us about eternity. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, which is so expansive that we don't understand, but we want to spend our lives figuring out. Lord, thank you for all that you give us and for the people who have said, today I need to make a decision. God, would you seal it in their hearts? In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who believes it says, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. He's changing lives. He's changing lives, and people are making decisions for him. God blesses that. God honors that. God glorifies himself in that. And today, if you did make a big decision, maybe it's for a first time, and you need to pull out a card that's in front of you. It's a Connect card. You need to fill it out and get it to us at the info desk. You know what? We're having baptisms in a few weeks, and what I would love more than anything else is if today you're making a first-time decision for Jesus, I would love for all of us to get to be a part of that with you and to celebrate that with you. And so fill out a card, or you can drop into thisweek.ngate.ca. Let us know you want to be baptized. Let us know something big happened in your life that you're deciding to stop living for this and start living for this. Amen? We love you guys. Have a great, great week. Stop chasing the wind. Why don't we all stand up as these guys play us out of here?